14th, 2021. And that means that it's Monday. What? Really?
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Ugh. Yeah, the Mondays. Blah. But hello, hello, welcome. Hello, SMJ, Northern Lights. Welcome and welcome to everyone in Com, Stug, F-Fong, everybody else. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to join in on the live chat, you can just SSH over to sdf.org. If you don't have an account yet, SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to jump around, and it'll be pretty cool. You'll be able to jump on, just run the program com, C-O-M, then G for go to, then an on radio. There you go. Oh, I just wolfed down my food. I might have to burp here. Sorry about that. Okay, well, there's a lot going on. I got three projects I'm juggling at work, but I did manage to block off this time. So, guess what? We get to have news! Woo! Hold on. News! So. Let's go ahead and get started. The way we almost always start.
World news.
World news. Alright, now brace yourselves. There is a ton of sad news. There are literally thousands of people dead from all sorts of horrible things. So let's go ahead and get started. First up, in Haiti, there was an earthquake over the weekend, and the death toll climbs to at least 1,297. Rescue workers are rushing to locate survivors of the deadly earthquake that struck Haiti on Saturday, as a tropical storm is heading towards the Caribbean nation. At least 1,297 people are known to have died in the 7.2 magnitude quake, and an unknown number are still missing. Tropical Depression Grace is expected to pass over the worst affected area later on Monday. It's feared heavy rain brought by Grace could trigger landslides. Roads already made impassable by the quake could be further damaged by the rains, so aid teams are racing to get essential provisions to the quake-hit region before Grace hits. A tropical storm, tropical storm watch is in effect for the entire coast of Haiti, as well as for the neighboring Dominican Republic. Search and rescue teams have been arriving from the United States and Chile, with more on the way from Mexico. Cuban medical teams are already in Haiti and helping people. Humanitarian organizations say survivors need drinking water and shelter. More than 30,000 families have been left homeless. Homes, churches, and schools were among buildings flattened in the quake. Some hospitals were left overwhelmed and in need of supplies as they struggled to treat the injured. As are an estimated 5,700. The earthquake compounds problems facing the province nation, which is already reeling from a political crisis following the assassination of its president last month. There are dramatic before and after photos showing how much destruction there was, and it's just really troubling and sad news. A couple of key facts or something else. In 2010, an earthquake in Haiti killed more than 200,000 people and caused extensive damage. 200,000 people? Wow. People and caused extensive damage to the country's infrastructure and economy. And this quake is supposed to have been bigger than that one. Key facts, Haiti is home to 11 million people. 59% of the people live below the poverty line. And between 2004 and 2017, years in which 200,000, oh, okay. That doesn't really make sense. Anyway, very, very troubling, very dangerous times indeed there in Haiti. Don't worry, there's lots going on. Haiti's just in real bad shape. So think about them. There's also an advisory. If you do HF broadcasting, there's a couple of frequencies they're asking you to stay off of. All right, at least 22 people are dead in the central Nigeria attack. After an attack on a convoy of 90 Muslims in the outskirts of the capital of Nigeria's central plateau state, Jos, that killed at least 22. Victims are buried and motorists are still stuck on Rukuba Road, where the attack took place. Northwest and central Nigeria have for years struggled with violence between mainly Muslim nomadic herders and Christian farmers over control of resources, water, and land. Police said they received a distress call during the morning that a group of attackers suspected to be Uruguay youths, predominantly Christian, attacked a convoy of 5 buses with the Muslim faithful. 22 persons were killed and 14 injured, police spokesman Uba Ogaba said in a statement, adding that 21 people had been rescued. Muhammad Ibrahim, who escaped, said the assault happened along Rukuba Road on the outskirts of Jos. The Muslims were returning from Bauchi State, he said, after attending an event to celebrate the Islamic New Year. So, very wild times, very distressing there. In Lebanon, a fuel tanker exploded. You may remember a boat or a large warehouse full of fertilizer exploded and basically destroyed the country last year. Well, a fuel tanker explosion has killed at least 28. A fuel tank blast in Lebanon early on Sunday killed 28 and injured nearly 80, authorities and medics said, burning a crowd clamoring for petrol in the crisis-hit country. The tragedy in the remote north overwhelmed medical facilities and heaped new misery on a nation already beset by an economic crisis and severe fuel shortages that have crippled hospitals and caused long power cuts. It revived bitter memories of an enormous explosion at Beirut port last August that killed more than 200 people. An advisor to the health ministry said the death toll from the blast in Al-Talal village in the Qar region had climbed to 28. The Lebanese Red Cross said 79 others were injured. The military has said that a fuel tank had been confiscated by the army to distribute to citizens exploded just before 2 a.m. Soldiers were among the victims. The army began raiding petrol stations Saturday to curb hoarding by suppliers following a central bank decision to scrap fuel subsidies. Hospitals in Akkara, one of Lebanon's poorest regions near the border with Syria and the northern port city of Tripoli, said they had to turn away many injured because they were ill-equipped to treat severe burns. The corpses are so charred we can't identify them, said Yassin Matlej, an employee at an Akkar hospital. Some have lost their faces, others their arms. So, very tragic events there. Just more and more. It's just... Anyway, like I said, today's got a lot of sad news, so I'm just going to try and power through as much of it as we can. But it's important to know a lot's going on, because one of the things that I was really what upset me this morning is I listened to the news on the radio and then on a few different podcasts, is it was full of news about, it was just all Afghanistan, which is something we'll talk about too, but there's so much happening, and... It's these other tragedies that need, you know, we should be aware of everything going on. Don't just allow yourself to get sucked into one tragedy. There are thousands of people in indescribable pain every day, and you gotta try and at least be aware of it. In Japan, nearly 2 million residents have been told to seek shelter. Highest level rain warnings have been issued in a number of prefectures, including Fukuoka and Hiroshima. One woman has died, and her husband and daughter are missing after a landslide destroyed 2 homes in Nagasaki Prefecture. More than 150 troops, police, and firefighters have been sent to help with rescue operations in the area. They are carefully searching for missing residents while watching out for further mudslides as the heavy rain continues, a local official told the AFP news agency. The west of the country is worst affected, but heavy downpours are expected across the country in coming days. In Saga Prefecture, a hospital evacuated patients to its upper floors on Saturday after the nearby Rokkaku River overflowed. Hold on, let me make sure. Yushi Adachi from Japan's Meteorological Agency described the current rainfall as unprecedented. It's highly likely that some kind of disaster has already occurred, he said. Local television footage showed submerged roads, rivers in Saga and Fukuoka have overflowed with water levels still rising. An official in Kumamoto, southwestern Japan, said 76-year-old man was missing after trying to secure his fishing boat. Flooding comes just weeks after heavy rains caused landslides and prompted rivers to burst their banks. So, yeah, just very troubling, huge destruction there. Oh, I don't have an ouch, this hurts.
Resistance is futile.
4 Palestinians have been killed in clashes during an Israeli raid. 4 Palestinians were killed during a raid to arrest a suspect in the occupied West Bank. Israeli police said undercover forces came under fire after entering Jenin refugee camp to arrest the suspect from the Islamic militant group Hamas. The Palestinian news agency Wafa WAFA, said four Palestinian men were killed and that a fifth was seriously wounded. It's one of the highest death tolls in West Bank violence for months. The Israel border police said officers from an undercover unit came under heavy fire from close range from a large number of terrorists as they sought to arrest the suspect in the early hours of Monday. The officers returned fire and neutralized the attackers. According to the Palestinian news agency MAN, M-A-A-N, the Israeli forces opened fire after setting an ambush. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas called the killings an ugly crime and warned it could lead to an escalation of violence. So, there you have it. Troubling the way that the language used by both sides. It's very polarizing and really sad. Well, there's still some more sadness. Don't worry.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, we're gonna need a song to cleanse our hearts after this. Grief grips South African town after gruesome vigilante killings. Families of black people killed in racial violence during unrest in Phoenix, South Africa are demanding justice. For Philisiwe Nkobo, I'm going to put that in com because I'm probably saying it pretty poorly, but Philisiwe Nkobo, age 45, a crippling wave of anxiety began to set in when the sun went down and her 34-year-old brother, Bekinkosi Nkobo, had not returned home. My brother left our house around 6 p.m. to find fuel in Phoenix. When he didn't return, we started looking for him everywhere. The next time I saw my brother was at a mortuary. Her brother was brutally beaten to death, and his car burned beyond recognition on July 12th. Violent protests, riots, and looting rocked South Africa in July for more than a week, leaving more than 300 dead and hundreds of businesses destroyed. Amid the unrest, historical racial tensions between African and Indian communities exploded in Phoenix, a predominantly ethnically Indian town on the outskirts of Durban, KwaZulu-Natal province. According to official reports, groups of Indian residents in Phoenix and surrounding areas formed vigilante groups to protect their property. Allegedly armed with semi-automatic rifles, machetes, and pistols, the groups formed illegal roadblocks and burned tires to bar access to their areas. These initiatives, Police Minister Becky Sell said in a press briefing in Phoenix on August 3rd, gave birth to the heinous criminal and racist incidents that resulted in brutal killings and injuries, horrendous damage to property, and untold pain and trauma. So, just very sad that this is going on out there.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I know. We got just a few more things to talk about that are just super depressing. All right, we got two more stories, and then we will play a song. First, we'll talk about the saddest of them. Hidden pandemic. Peruvian children in crisis as carers die. With 93,000 children in Peru losing a parent to COVID, many face depression, anxiety, and poverty. When COVID-19 began shutting down Nilda Lopez's vital organs, doctors decided the best chance of saving her and her unborn baby was to put her in a coma. 6 months pregnant, Lopez fears she would not wake up, or that if she did, her baby would not be there. Her partner had already died of the virus, and doctors predicted that she would too. But whether, due to the expertise of the intensive care unit's medical team, Lopez's will to cling to life for a child, or, as she sees it, divine intervention, doctors were able to save the mother and the baby, Maria Bellin, who was 3 months premature with an emergency cesarean. The scars remain for Lopez. She has not yet processed the loss of her partner and has to provide for her three children, including 12-year-old twins from a previous marriage, while COVID-19 has impaired her ability to walk. Maria Bellin is now 6 months old, is one of an estimated 99,000 children in Peru and 1.6 million globally who've lost a caregiver to COVID-19. COVID-19 orphanhood is a hidden pandemic, says researchers. Obscured by the more visible tumult of the pandemic, it is damaging the mental and physical health and economic future of the next generation. Peru faces a particularly severe crisis. High levels of informal labor, intergenerational housing, and poverty have made it fertile ground for the coronavirus. It has recorded 197,000 deaths, the highest number in the world per capita. So, pretty rough. So anyway, that's just something to remind you. Even if you're like, I don't really care about me, and you know, you might be like, that guy, he's not wearing a mask, whatever. But there's kids that are being hurt too, and they're being left behind. All right, now. Excuse me. Speaking of being left behind, we'll talk about Afghanistan real quick. U.S. has taken control of the Kabul airport to evacuate staff. So basically, the Taliban's taken over the country. They got the capital and everything taken care of. And then everyone started going to the airport to try to leave. The United States came in, took over the only airport in the country, and is basically using it to get their people in and out, and barring or forcing everybody else out, which is kind of the way the U.S. operates. But this is kind of a bit bigger because it's like it's more blatant. Like usually we just buy all the resources and leave other countries to starve. But whenever we're trying to do something in a country, we just go there and, like, shoot people until they get out of the way. Anyway, here's the story. There have been scenes of panic at Kabul airport as desperate residents try to flee following the seizure of the Afghan capital by the Taliban. The U.S. Army says soldiers shot two armed men, while three people are reported to have died after falling from the underside of a plane they were clinging on to shortly after takeoff. All flights have now been stopped as soldiers try to clear the runways. The U.S. and other countries are rushing to evacuate staff and allies. On Sunday, the Taliban declared victory after Afghan President Ashraf Ghani fled abroad and his government collapsed. The militants' return to rule brings an end to almost 20 years of a U.S.-led presence in the country. Kabul was the last major city in Afghanistan to fall to a Taliban offensive that began months ago, but accelerated in recent days as they gained control of territory, shocking many observers. The Islamist group was able to seize control after most foreign troops pulled out. Following the Taliban's seizure of Kabul, many people headed to the airport. Evacuation of foreigners and some Afghans with links to foreign governments and organizations have been taking place, but passengers said rumors spread that even those without visas were being allowed to travel. As huge crowds gathered, U.S. forces reportedly fired into the air to disperse people who were trying to force their way onto planes. Video obtained by Afghan media outlets also showed people clinging to the side of a plane as it began to taxi on the runway. Another video appeared to show men falling from a plane that had taken off. Later, a Pentagon spokesman said all flights had been halted out of an abundance of caution. U.S. military forces are on the scene working alongside Turkish and other international troops to clear the area of people. We don't know how long this will take, John Kirby said. Rakshanda Jalali, a human rights activist who's trying to leave, said, "How can the Americans hold the airport and dictate terms and conditions to the Afghans? This is our airport, but we're seeing diplomats being evacuated while we wait in complete uncertainty," she told Reuters news agency. So, that's what's going on. There are some amazing photos, and it's very similar to like the. Anyway, there's lots of media getting out right now on this news, but it's pretty heavy, right? Really heavy. But
resistance is futile,
like they say. So we're gonna go ahead and play a song. Try and release some of this tension we've built up. So anyway, let's see if I can get it pulled up here. Oops, I clicked the wrong button. It's going to take me just a second to fix this. Do-do-do-do! Alright. Oh, that's what I wanted. Oh, shucks. Sorry, I had a few songs I wanted, but I just don't have them. So, what we're going to do instead is we're going to play Good Vibrations from the Beach Boys. This isn't Good Vibrations. Hold on. You remember whenever I mentioned that my library is all mixed up? Yeah, apparently that's not it. Let's see, is this California Girls? Let's find out.
Those girls are hit by
there we go. Oh, sorry, SMJ. I didn't realize it. I got a little freaked out.
California.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Good vibrations. I mixed up the songs. Sorry.
Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. That was kind of a mashup between California Girls and Good Vibrations. We needed something because, man, I tell you what, that was some dark, sad news there. But it's good. Now you know. There is trouble all over the planet. We didn't get into all of it. There's a lot of stuff happening still in Myanmar. And there's still a lot of trouble going on in, where else was it? There's several news stories in Africa we didn't get a chance to go to. But such is life. We're going to go ahead here. We've got about 7 minutes or so to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which definitely doesn't feature death and destruction. And we're just going to have a good time. So definitely stick around for that. Let's go ahead and finish up. We've got some less sad news, but it's still news to me. Don't worry. And hello, Hollow Rose. Welcome, welcome. Hichilema takes Zambia's top job at sixth bid. We talked about the election starting last weekend. Well, they've tallied the votes. Hakainde Hichilema, Zambia's veteran opposition politician and a business tycoon, tried six times for the country's presidency before finally landing the top job on Monday. With more than 2.8 million votes, he secured a landslide against his longtime rival, President Edgar Lungu, who garnered just over 1.8 million of the ballots cast on August 12th. Hichilema, who described himself as just an ordinary cattle boy, has contested and lost every election held in the South African country since 2006, though he has been buoyed each time by an increased share of the vote. In 2016, he unsuccessfully challenged the result of the presidential election, which he said was stolen from him after he narrowly lost by 100,000 votes. This time around, the 59-year-old opposition leader latched onto widespread dissatisfaction with Lungu's running of the economy, campaigning under the slogan Faka Pressure, meaning put pressure for change. Hichilema is no stranger to controversy in the copper-rich nation, having run afoul of the authorities numerous times. He regularly mentions that he has been arrested 15 times since getting into politics. Most recently, after the 2016 election, he faced treason charges for allegedly failing to give way to the presidential motorcade. So, he spent 4 months in a max security jail before charges were dropped. So this is very exciting. You can read more about this over at africanews.com if you'd like. If the transfer of power is peaceful, this is going to be really cool because that's not a common thing, or it's not as common as would be nice in Africa. So that'd be cool. Forest fires are raging in northern Morocco. Firefighters in northern Morocco are battling to put out two forest blazes, a forestry's official said, as the North African kingdom swelters in a heat wave. Non-stop firefighting planes were being used to tackle the conflagrations, which had already destroyed some 200 hectares, which is about 500 acres, of forest. Several parts of North African Kingdom have seen temperature up to 49 degrees C, according to weather authorities. There have been no victims, as priority has been given to preventing fires approaching residential areas. So that's great news. He said the cause of the fires was not known, but they'd been spurred by high temperatures and strong winds, which were expected to last into Monday. So yeah, 49 C, pretty terrible. All right, we're going to run out of time, so I'm not going to go super in-depth into these other stories, but you're definitely, I'll tell you where to find them if you want to read more. Striking train drivers in Germany. The system's been cut to the bone. Last week, train drivers and conductors went on a two-day strike, which paralyzed large parts of the German railway system. They are resisting the attempts to shunt onto them the costs of the coronavirus pandemic. Railway workers confront not only the railway operator, Deutsche Bahn, but also the federal government, which owns 100% of Deutsche Bahn, the main railway and transport union, EVG, that's Echo Victor Golf, and the limited perspective of the Sector Train Drivers Union, or GDL, Golf Delta Lima. In Hesse, the Rhine-Main-S-Bahn commuter rail system also went on strike on Wednesday. Two young train drivers, Sebastian and Damien, explained to the World Socialist website, which is where you can read more about this, www.org, what they do and the responsibility rests on them. They are often a good 1,000 passengers on a train, and each train is run by just one driver alone, and the shifts are long and grueling. So, pretty wild. Hello, John M. Welcome, welcome. Stung if I didn't say hi. Hello. Thanks for being around. In the U.S., Tesla's autopilot faces U.S. investigation after crashes with emergency vehicles. Investigators are reviewing 765,000 vehicles made since 2014. The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration identified 11 crashes involving first responder vehicles. The U.S. government's opened a formal investigation into Tesla's driver assistance system known as Autopilot after a series of collisions with parked emergency vehicles. The investigation covers 765,000 vehicles, almost everything that Tesla has sold in the U.S. since the start of the 2014 model year. Of the crashes identified by the NHTSA, 17 people were injured and one was killed. So, pretty big, lots to unfold here, but kind of scary because Tesla's had a lot of trouble in China too recently. Oh golly, we're going to run out of time, so I'm just going to leave you with just the headlines. Thousands have marched in France for COVID health because COVID restrictions are going on. The U.S. is expected to see 200,000 COVID cases a day, and the unvaccinated are considered sitting ducks by the CDC. Vaccine skeptical cardinal in Wisconsin is on a ventilator, probably going to die because your faith is not going to save you from COVID. A Texas town was ordered to shelter in place after the noxious gas was released. It was actually the gas that they used to make natural gas stink. That's what escaped. All right, we're out of here.
I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900.
Thanks so much for listening. See you guys tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
Oh yeah! We survived the sad news. Now it's time for Tobe! Tobe! And the Dubious Goals Committee. Oh yeah! Oh yeah!